21, Matthew chapter number 21 this morning for just a few moments. Get your Bible and let's go to the Word of God this morning and pray God will speak to our hearts through the Word of God. Now, we've been in the Gospel of Matthew for a good while, and we've looked in chapter number 19. We've not quite got done with chapter number 19, but today being a day that in many religious forms and denominations and different things, of course, this is considered Palm Sunday, and I've never preached a message just like I'm going to preach this morning on this particular subject, or I can't remember doing that, but the Lord just impressed upon our heart. As we look at the next week's events, starting certainly with today and thinking about Calvary, and I know that we as Christians celebrate Friday as Good Friday and all that, but Friday you just can't do the math, and so I'm not going to get into that argument. This morning, the day is not as important as what actually took place. And that was the Lord Jesus going to the cross and Him dying and He was buried. And then, Lord willing, on Sunday morning, we'll come and celebrate the resurrection of Him coming forth from the grave. He's the only one that was able to do that. And certainly everybody else's bones are there in the grave. But today, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ lives. But I think all of us need to reflect in this next week as we consider Jesus' interest into Jerusalem and all the things that transpired certainly in that last week of His life, or the last few days until His death at Calvary, and then again the wonderful resurrection. So I want to look at some scripture this morning from Matthew and chapter number 21. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. And read down through verse number 11. We're going to take our title, our thought from verse number 5, and it'd simply be this. We're going to take it right out of the scriptures this morning. Behold, thy King cometh. I want us to think about that thought this morning as we look at this text and look at the things that are transpiring as Jesus is going to make His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and for the very last time, He's going to come into Jerusalem. And we'll look at that today. Behold, thy King cometh. And not only did He come the first time, but I'm glad He's coming a second time. He's coming the next time in the clouds to rapture the church, and then He's coming the next time on this earth, which will be His real triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And I probably won't have time to preach on that this morning, but I want us to think about the thought, behold, thy King cometh. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, if you're able to stand. And if you're not, that's certainly okay. Matthew chapter number 21, starting in verse number 1. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. In verse number 3, and if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway He will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh. Think about that. Unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Notice in verse 6. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And notice in verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of God. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus the prophet. Jesus the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you, Father, for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the privilege, Father, to be back in your house today. And Lord, I thank you for the teaching. I thank you for the singing. But Lord, most of all today, Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word and for he, the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, I pray right now, Father, as your servant, Lord, I submit myself now unto your hands. God, I pray that, Father, you would anoint me, God, and touch me. Help me, Lord, as I stand in this place today to proclaim the truths of the word of God. I pray, God, you'd anoint my mind and my mouth today and my heart. Father, I'd not say anything to be contrary unto your word. Lord, as we reflect on that great event, God, as you rode into Jerusalem, for that last time, I pray that each of us will reflect upon our on Calvary this week. And Lord, what you have done for us at that place of Calvary. And Lord, your wonderful resurrection. And Lord, I pray if there be anybody here today that's never truly been born again, or they've not received you into their heart and their life. Lord, today, repenting of their sin and called upon you for salvation. Father, I pray today would be the good day. Lord, that they would come by faith and receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, I pray you'd encourage the hearts of those that are here today saved. I pray today, God, we'd ever be, Lord, what you'd have us to be. We'd be obedient and submissive to your word and to your will. God, you just move in the midst today. And Lord, I pray you do something in our hearts and our lives, Lord, that only you can do. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments today, again, I want to just look at the simple thought out of our text today. Behold, thy king cometh. Today, let us consider again the great event of Jesus as he is entering into Jerusalem for the last time before he makes his way to the cross of Calvary. All four of the gospel writers give us an account of how that Jesus makes his entry into Jerusalem, being a significant event in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find today as he enters into Jerusalem for this last time, again being a significant event where Jesus was welcomed by many, if you will, as a hero and as a king. But today, in just a few short days, as you study from this text forward, you'll find in just a few short days, he's being celebrated as a hero and a king and a dignitary. But just in a few short days, they will be crying, crucify, crucify him. And of course, we know that was the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ all along. He came for one simple reason today, and certainly today that was to go to the cross and pay the sin debt for all mankind. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he was willing to go. And certainly as we find today unfolding before us what is considered Palm Sunday, that day that Jesus rides again to Jerusalem for the last time, I want us to consider some things about this, very simple things this morning. I pray there'll be a blessing and a help and a challenge to our hearts today. First of all, I want you to see today from the very text that we've read into your hearing, I want you to see, first of all, Jesus' entrance into the city. Jesus had entered into Jerusalem other times, but today he's entering into Jerusalem in a way that he has never entered into Jerusalem. He's coming today as we find entering in for that last time. It's different than in any other time. All the other times he was continuing his ministry. Today, as he enters into the city of Jerusalem, his eye is toward Calvary. And certainly we find that certainly, again, that's his destination and his destiny. So he's entering the city different than any other time. As Jesus enters into the city, I thought about some different things from the very text that we read into your hearing this morning. First of all, I want you to notice in this entrance to the city, I want you to see three things. Number one, I want you to think about the two disciples. I want you to think about the two disciples. Now, the Bible doesn't mention who the two disciples are as far as their name. But I want you to notice that Jesus summons these disciples to go and to do something for him. And you'll notice that in verse number 5. He's saying unto them, speaking of those disciples, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her, and loose them and bring them unto me. And so we find that Jesus, before he enters into Jerusalem, he sends out these two disciples. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with us today? Well, I thought about this. These two disciples, they obeyed what Jesus told them to do. Amen. They obeyed what Jesus had told them to do. Notice they did not ask any questions. Amen. They did not ask any questions. And you say, well, why is all that significant today? Well, when we think about our own lives today, and certainly we are to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be followers and learners of Him today. And certainly when God tells us through His Word and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit to do something, then you and I ought to be willing to do it. Amen? And so we find that these disciples, that they obeyed the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't ask questions. They just went and done what Jesus had bidden them to do. You say, well, why is that significant? Well, before Jesus could ride into Jerusalem, like had been prophesied of him doing so, somebody had to be obedient. Somebody had to be willing to listen unto his instructions and follow what the Lord Jesus Christ said to do. And so we find in Jesus' entrance into the city, first of all, I see two disciples. Secondly, not only do I see the two disciples, but secondly, I see the donor of the donkeys. Now, let's just say you got some livestock. Now, I know some of you in here today, you have livestock, and many of you have no idea about livestock. But I want you to get in your mind now the picture. Jesus, before he could enter into the city, according just exactly had been prophesied to do, we find that he sends the two disciples. And we find that Jesus tells them to go into the city, and there they will find the donkeys tied, and to get them and to bring them unto him. Now, let's just think about it in modern day terms. Somebody sends somebody to your house and says, I need your car. The Lord hath need of it. Good luck. It probably ain't going to happen. Amen? So I think about not only the two disciples, but then I think about the donor. The one when the disciples came, and they find the donkeys tied there. And we find that as they're tied there, the donkeys tell the donors of the donkeys, the Lord hath need of them. And so we find, not only do we find certainly the obedience of the disciples, but then we find the obedience of the donors. In other words, the Lord hath need of it. I wonder today, is what we have, the things that God has blessed you and I with this morning, I wonder if the Lord really had need of them, would you and I be willing to obey the Spirit of God and the Word of God and commit those things unto the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? It just makes me wonder today. Now, if somebody had come and told us that, we'd be asking all kinds of questions. But the only thing that was told to the donors, the Lord hath need of them. And so we find that the Word of God is being fulfilled here through these disciples and through these donors. The will of God is being accomplished. I wonder today, are you and I willing to be obedient in our own lives? Are we willing to obey as the disciples obeyed? Are we willing to obey as the donor of the donkeys obeyed? The Lord hath need of them. Today, the Lord this morning wants each of us to yield ourselves to Him and what we have because it's all His anyway. Amen. And so today we need to realize and ask our own self the question, today, are we willing to donate? Are we willing to give? Are we willing today to be obedient in following the Lord Jesus Christ to the place that we'd be willing to do as the donor's done? Notice, behold, the King's coming. Behold, the King's coming. Behold, the King is coming. By the way, He's still coming. Amen. He's coming to Jerusalem here. We understand that. But He's also coming again. And so we see Jesus' entrance into the city. We see the two disciples. We see the donor of the donkeys. And then we see the donkeys themselves. Now, there's something very particular about these donkeys. You say, well, preacher, what's that? They'd never been ridden. Has anybody ever tried to ride an animal that's never been ridden? Has Archie tried to do that? He said, be still, be still, be quiet. It don't work, does it, brother? Physically speaking and naturally speaking today, it's just not going to happen. What do you say? I want you to see the miracle in all this. See the miracle in this triumphal entry of Jesus Himself into the city of Jerusalem for the last time. He's coming like He's never came before. All the other times, He's just coming to the city. But this time, He's coming as the King. Hallelujah. I'm glad the next time that He comes, He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we find today the obedience of the disciples. We find the obedience of the donors. And we even find the obedience of the donkeys. Mark 11:2 says, whereon never man had sat. And if Jesus can get disciples to be obedient, if He can get donors to be obedient, and He can get donkeys to be obedient, why can't He get you and I to be obedient? Oh my, it's something to think about this morning. Listen, before this great event could be fulfilled as it was supposed to be fulfilled, then certainly some things had to be put into place. God may be wanting to do something in our lives. God may be wanting to do something in our family. God may be wanting to do something in our church. And what He's looking for is someone that will be obedient. If Jesus could get a donkey to be obedient, if He could get a rooster to be obedient. Why in the world can't you and I be obedient? Lord, help us today that we'd realize that before sometimes the will of God can be accomplished like He wants to accomplish it, that He's looking for somebody that will be obedient unto Him today. We want to do our own thing this morning. And I understand we have to battle against this flesh, but there are sometimes that we need to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God and say, God, I'm here. I want to be obedient. I want Your will fulfilled in my life and in my family and in my church. And sometimes God is looking for someone to be obedient. I want you to notice today, not only do we find this morning Jesus' interest into the city and how the disciples and the donors and the donkeys moved in obedience so that that could be fulfilled. The donkey this morning was a symbol of peace. As you study this particular time in the Bible, the donkey was a symbol of peace. He wasn't coming as a warrior. Now, the horse in the Scriptures and the horse in the biblical days of Jesus, they were a symbol of war. You know what He's coming back on the next time? Oh, He's coming back. Oh, my. I want you to see there's some things significant here this morning. I don't want you to miss them. He's coming in peace to Jerusalem this time. He's coming in as the one that will go to the cross so that man can have peace in his heart. He's not coming as a warrior. He's not coming to fight. But friend, there's coming a day. Behold, the King cometh. Hallelujah, He's coming back. And He's not coming back riding a donkey the next time. He's coming back, thank God, mounted on a white horse. Hallelujah, this morning, to the Lamb of God, to bring war against those that reject Him and turn their hearts against Him. I'm telling you, behold, the King is coming today. The question is, are you ready for His coming? See, Jerusalem was not ready for His coming. In the fact that they rejected Him. Oh, we're going to talk about some things here in just a moment. Boy, it looks like they're all on board. But see, what they were looking for in Jerusalem was for somebody to come and deliver them out from under the rule of the Roman government. Jesus did not come to take them out from under the rule of the Roman government. He came, thank God, that they could be set free from the penalty of their sin. And not only them, but each and every one of us this morning, that's the reason that He came. And so not only do I see Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, but secondly, I want you to see, let me give you this morning. Again, a donkey was a symbol of peace, and most of the time it would be ridden by dignitaries. Now, we don't think about that this morning much as a donkey, a lowly donkey this morning, but it would be ridden by dignitaries, and if they were coming in peace, they would be riding on a donkey. He was coming in peace. He wasn't coming to make war. He was coming in peace. Zechariah is the very scripture that is fulfilled before us in this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. The Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation." He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And so we find Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. You say, "Preacher, is that significant?" You better believe it is. Because if Jesus does not fulfill Old Testament prophecy to every jot and every tittle, then He's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. But can I say this morning, thanks be unto the Lamb of God. I'm glad He fulfilled every prophecy this morning. It is coming the first time. He'll fulfill every promise. It is coming of the second time. Behold, the King is coming today, my friend. Notice not only do we see that He enters into Jerusalem, but secondly, I want you to see the people's exaltation as He enters into Jerusalem. Notice, if you will, tell you that all in verse number 6, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put their," notice in verse 7, "and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set Him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way." Can you get in your mind the scene? As Jesus now has been set upon this donkey, and now they're going to lead Him into the streets of Jerusalem. And all that they begin to do, notice again in verse number 8. "And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches," from where we get the Palm Sunday saying. "Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed, they was in front of Him. They were behind Him." Oh, y'all seeing the picture? They were in front of Him. They were behind Him. "And the multitudes that were before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Notice not only do we see His interest, but now we see His exaltation. They are exalting Him. They are praising Him. They are worshiping Him. They are rejoicing in Him. What's our problem? It's the very same Jesus. He's still alive and well today, by the way. I don't know about your Savior, but mine's not dead. Too many people worshiping a dead God this morning. I'm glad, thank God, my Savior lives today. Oh, yes, He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Oh, yes, He went to the cross. But thanks be to God, the third day, I'm glad He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I'm glad today, thank God, He's my living Savior. I'm glad He's not dead. I'm glad He's alive. And I'm glad He's alive in my heart, in my life. I know what He done for me. I know how He's forgiven me. I know how He's cleansed me. I know what He's done for me. I know where He's brought me from. Hallelujah this morning. Thank God. The King is coming, my friend. The King is coming. I want you to notice in His exaltation, I want you to notice three or four things here quickly this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus, first of all, I want you to see His disciples. His disciples, I believe we can tell all of the disciples up to this point, except for Judas. They put their clothes on the donkeys and set Jesus on that donkey. They take their very clothes. Now, they didn't run around naked. Don't misinterpret the text. They took off their outer garment. And they laid it across the back of this donkey. And set Jesus upon this donkey. So we see, first of all, that the disciples are honoring Him. Huh? Oh yeah, it's got to be so that the prophecy can be fulfilled. And they didn't even realize it at the time, the very prophecy that was probably being fulfilled right before them, and because of their obedience. But we find that the disciples are involved in the exaltation. Not only do we find the disciples, but secondly, I want you to notice the great multitude. They begin to take off their garments. And as Jesus began to come into Jerusalem, they began to take off their garments. They began to take off that outer garment. And they began to lay them there in the road going into Jerusalem. And as Jesus was riding on that donkey, it was riding right over, stepping right on and over those garments that those people had laid down before Him. You say, well, preacher, does that mean anything? Well, according to what I could find, spreading the garments this morning was a sign of submission. The spreading of the garment was a sign of submission. In other words, the people are saying, we are submitting ourselves as Jesus is coming in as the King. Behold, the King is coming. And so they begin to take off their garments. Can you imagine the scene? They're laying their very garments down as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. It was a sign of submission. You know what God wants you and I to do today? He wants us to submit ourselves to Him. Now listen, they were willing to take off that garment. Listen, most of these people of that time didn't have a whole lot like we've been blessed with. Huh? How many of you be willing to take off your garment and lay it down in the dirt, the mud, and let the donkey walk over it? It was a sign of submission. The people were submitting themselves to this man by the name of Jesus. You know what God wants you and I to do? He wants you and I to submit ourselves to Him. Matter of fact, I don't believe an individual ever really gets born again until they're willing to submit themselves to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, people want salvation today, but they want it their way. Huh? Salvation means that God has come in and forgiven us and changed our life. Now, does that mean today that we're not going to go out and we're not going to mess up and we're not going to fail? Because we are. But when we realize that we have, the best thing that you and I could do this morning is just submit ourselves back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's long-suffering. I'm glad He's merciful. I'm glad He's gracious today. I'm glad He will forgive. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness today. So we find their exaltation. Not only do we see His entrance, But we find the exaltation of Jesus here. They're exalting him. They're honoring him. We find the disciples. We find the great multitude as they spread their garments in a sign of submission. And then we see the others spread branches, the palm branches. The palm branch today is a symbol of victory. Jesus was not riding into Jerusalem in defeat. Y'all get that this morning? He's not riding into Jerusalem in defeat. He's coming in victory. And the palm branch certainly was one of the branches that were used. And those palm branches represents victory. I'm glad as we sang in the congregational hymn this morning, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't defeat him. They did not kill him in the sense he laid down his life. He gave it willingly that you and I could be saved and redeemed by the good grace of God. He's trying to show those Jews there in Jerusalem. It's all a picture. And we find today a picture of the Savior. We find the disciples in their exaltation. We see the great multitude. We see the others that spread the branches and the palm branches was a symbol of victory. And then we find others following, crying. Not only following, but going before him. Crying, Hosanna! Hosanna. Let me say, it was not no small stir in Jerusalem that day. If you study your Bible real closely, one of the things that had transpired just a few days earlier was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm glad, thank God, he is the resurrection and the life. Could you imagine being out there at the graveside on that day when Jesus called Lazarus forth from the grave? I'm telling you, you talk about a stir in the city. Now we have Jesus riding on the donkey. And they're laying their clothes and spreading out the branches. And they're crying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Behold, the King's coming. Could I say he's coming again? I wonder today how many people are really looking for him. And he's coming again. Others are following, crying, Hosanna. The word Hosanna means save now. Again, many of the Jews were looking for someone to deliver them out from under the Roman control. But that's not the reason Jesus came. Jesus came to save our souls and to save us from an eternity apart from him. It means save now. It means, oh, save. It also means an exclamation of adoration. Man, they were adoring him. I wonder today, do we really adore him like we should? Oh, this morning I see, in the text before us, I see his interest into Jerusalem. I see the people's exaltation. But then thirdly today, and lastly, I see the people's examination. Notice, if you will, verses 9 and 10, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were adoring him. They were worshiping him. In verse number 10, when he was coming into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Boy, you know what we need? We need a moving of God. We need a moving of God this morning. Hey, when Jesus is around, there'll be a moving. Amen? Notice. The city was moved, but notice their question. Notice the people's examination. All the city was moved, saying, who is this? It had their curiosity. Who is this? Coming in here on this donkey and people crying, Hosanna. Behold, the King's coming. But most of them didn't even realize it. You understand that today? They're crying Hosanna today, but just in two or three days, or a couple of days, they're crying, crucify and crucify. Today, are we crying Hosanna, or are we crying crucify and crucify? Oh my. I want you to notice this morning, in their examination, who is this? We notice in verse 11 their explanation. And the multitude said, this is Jesus. Now watch your Bible. Watch your Bible. This is Jesus the prophet. You say, preacher, why is that significant? They missed it. In their examination of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him riding in Jerusalem in His, what we call His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, on that Palm Sunday, as they're spreading out the clothes, as they're taking down the palm branches, as they're crying Hosanna, they're saying, if you will, in our modern day English language here in Wilkes County, what in the world's going on? Who does He think He is? Who is that? And they say it's Jesus, the prophet. This is what I want you to see this morning in their examination. They missed it. They missed who He was. And not only who He was, but who He is, and who He will always be. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. For 3.5 years, 3.5 years, Jesus has been healing. Jesus has been preaching. Jesus has been teaching. Jesus has been raising people from the dead. And they say, He's a prophet. Could I say He's much more than a prophet? He is prophet, priest, and king. That's who He is today. He's prophet, priest, and king. Their explanation, Jesus the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They missed it. He's more than a prophet. He was and is the Savior. And because He is the Savior today, our examination, our explanation ought to be today that He's the one that we adore. He ought to be the one that we worship. In their examination, they missed it. He's the one that we should adore. He's the one in whom we should humble ourselves in full submission. He's the one today in whom we should entrust our very soul. Could I ask you a question today? Who have you entrusted your soul to? Behold, the King's coming. Now, He came the first time riding into Jerusalem here. In His last trip to Jerusalem, He comes riding on the donkey, a symbol of peace. But the next time He comes on the animal, it'll be a horse of war to bring judgment to a world that has rejected Him and turned Him away. Who is He? Remember, Jesus asked Peter and the disciples, who do men say that I am? And some men thought He was John the Baptist. Another man, other great teacher, a great prophet. But then Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Today, who is Christ to you? Behold, the King's coming. Just as He came in Jerusalem, just a few days before Calvary, He's coming again. As I've already said, the next time He comes, He's coming in the clouds to rapture the church. But the next time He comes to this earth, He's coming in judgment. And I'm glad, thank God, my judgment's already been taken care of at a place called Calvary. The King's coming. He come in meek and lowly this time. Just like the Bible said He would, meek and lowly, humble. But the next time He comes, He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My question to you today, most importantly, the Holy Spirit of God's question to you today, friend, is, are you ready to meet the King? Are you ready to meet the King of all kings? If you knew that tomorrow was scheduled an event in your life where you could meet some kind of dignitary, you'd put forth your very best because you know you're going to meet a dignitary. Somebody that was important. And Jesus wants to meet with us every day. And especially in the house of God on Sunday. And a lot of times we don't seem like we're even prepared. I know we can't see Him with our physical eye, but I'm glad with the eye of faith. I'm glad we can see Him. I'm glad with a heart that He's touched and changed that we can even feel Him. Thank God for the ultimate King. The King's coming. The King's coming. Behold, the King cometh. Are you ready to meet Him? What's your examination of Him? How do you see Him? There's still a lot of people today that says, well, He was a good man. He was a good teacher. These people that worship hundreds and hundreds of God say He was a God. No, He is the true and the living God today. And He loves you. And He wants you and I to know Him today. And a free pardon of sin. Behold, the King's coming. Are you ready for the King? Are we willing to be obedient as the disciples, as the donor, and even as the donkey, so that God's plan could be fulfilled in what Jesus was going to do? I wonder today, where do you stand with Him? Where do you stand with the King? I don't know many dignitaries. Matter of fact, don't know if I know any. I'm not going to be invited to the White House, nor to Congress, nor Senate, which will be all right with me. I'm glad the greatest invitation I've ever gotten came from heaven to come and meet the King. Now, if you get those invitations, that's wonderful. But the greatest invitation you could get today is to know the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Do you know about Him today, or do you really know Him? Because the King's coming. He's coming. And He's coming unto you. What will you do with Him? Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Curtis, you want to give us a song of invitation. Father, we sure do love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You today, Father, for the Word of God. And Lord, I realize today that, Father, we've nowhere done justice to this great entrance into the city of Jerusalem for Your last time. But Lord, I can see some things that are significant, and there are some truths that I pray that each of us will grasp today. And I have to ask my own self the question today, am I being obedient? Lord, as this plan was being fulfilled or could be fulfilled, somebody had to be obedient. And I see Your entrance into that city. I see the exaltation, but Lord, they honored You just as a prophet, not as the Savior. And their examination, Lord, they couldn't figure out who You truly were. And I realize that the Jews in that particular time were blinded by part. But I'm thankful today, Lord, that You come to die not only for the Jew, but for the Gentile as well. And I pray today that each of us would consider the King's coming. And I pray each of us have made preparations to meet the King. Lord, if there's someone here today that's never trusted You as their Savior, Lord, they've never repented of their sin and received You into their heart, I pray today would be the good day, Lord, that they would call upon You for salvation. Maybe somebody cold, indifferent. Maybe someone here today that, Father, you've burdened their heart about something that, Lord, they need to be obedient in. I pray that they would come today. Lord, you take the invitation, Father, you use it. And Lord, help us that we be obedient. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. What you got picked?